And I do want to express some thank yous. I want to thank you, or I want to thank Pastor Rob for giving me this opportunity to speak about the book of Colossians and for doing the children's message so that all I had to focus on was getting the sermon together. And I do want to thank him for every preaching opportunity that he gives to us here on the preaching team. Thank you. I also want to thank Vicki and Lori and the Women's Ensemble for that beautiful anthem. I was listening to it and listening to the birds, too, and it was just a nice balance and blend. So I do want to thank the women for their hard work. And the anthem is very much appreciated. I also want to thank Brian and Colleen for doing a great job reading those two beautiful passages of Scripture. I love that passage in Hosea. That was first introduced to me by a religion professor at Otterbein when I went there. And it's one of the most beautiful passages in the Old Testament where God refers to Israel as his child and cares about Israel as his child. And like me, I'm sure many of you have caught a glimpse or perhaps even binge-watched shows like Extreme Makeover or Say Yes to the Dress or Wear This, Not That. And these are shows where they take someone who has worn the same type of clothing for many years and give them a clothing and sometimes even a hairstyle makeover. Now, I am fashionably challenged, and so I myself could probably stand to experience such a makeover. I try. Or how about like on the Today Show or Good Morning America, where they pick a random person out of the crowd and whisk them off and give them a makeover, often with at least a partial new wardrobe. Now, I'm not too embarrassed to say that most of my wardrobe in recent years has come from the Goodwill collection, or Goodwill clothing line. I find a few shirts or sweaters for $2 or $3 a piece that are in great condition, some of them even brand new, and I get a thrill from that. I don't know about you. If I happen to buy something brand new from a store like Walmart or Meijer or Target or even Kohl's, oh, look out. I'm ecstatic. I don't do that very often. I usually wear clothes until they're pretty much ready for the garbage. But, you know, I think there is something psychologically satisfying and maybe even exhilarating about changing up our wardrobe from time to time. And now we're changing seasons, going from the spring into the summer months, and our clothing changes again, often to shorts and t-shirts and stuff like that. Although last weekend definitely was an exception, wasn't it? I don't ever recall a Memorial Day where it was quite that chilly. And so we kind of have to keep some of our early spring or winter clothes at the ready, because this is Ohio after. And today in our text, and I can tell the wind is not going to cooperate with me. I'm going to have some page trouble here. Today in our text, we're going to look at making a different kind of wardrobe change, a change in our attitudes. And through Paul, God is saying that there are things we need to get rid of and things that we need to put on instead. And this week, we are continuing in our series on the letters of Paul, and today I'm honored to share with you some thoughts on Paul's letter to the Colossians. And just some historical background here, this letter was written by the Apostle Paul, along with Ephesians, Philippians, and Philemon, while he was in prison in Rome about 60 AD. These four letters, Colossians, Ephesians, Philippians, and Philemon are known as the prison letters. And it was written to the people in the church at Colossae. Oddly enough, and I did not know this before, but Paul not only did not start the church at Colossae, He had not even visited there. Paul had helpers. He had lots of helpers in the church, like Epaphras, Timothy, Onesimus, and Tychicus, who assisted him in the new churches and did errands for him, like delivering letters to the churches. You know, Paul couldn't do it. He was in prison for 2 years, after all. Now, let me try to show you on this map back here, and I'm going to ask Pastor Rob to help me here. Going to show you where Colossae was. Colossae was right here. This is kind of the area known as Asia Minor. And this is close to the Middle East over there. This is in modern-day Turkey. So if you can picture on a world map where Turkey is, that's where Colossae was. And let's see. Over, you have Galatia over here, and Ephesus right here. So this shows you where a lot of these churches were that Paul helped start. And these arrows show his three missionary journeys. In the meantime, Paul's way over here in Rome. Paul's way up here. And these churches are over here. And, you know, so they didn't have email and regular mail and stuff like that to get word to the churches. It had to be hand-delivered. So I don't know if you want to take that around and just show everybody. And I'm going to try to find my page in the Bible again. Now, getting into this fairly short book or letter from Paul, it is only four chapters. Where Ephesians is like six chapters, and Philippians is also four chapters. Philemon is just one chapter. Philemon is a very short book, and Philemon was also someone who helped in the church at Colossae. The book of Colossians does kind of divide neatly in half. Chapters 1 and 2 are mostly doctrinal, and chapters 3 and 4 are more practical application. Paul usually starts out his letters with a greeting. In this one he says, Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, to the holy and faithful people in Christ at Colossae, grace and peace to you from God our Father. He then offers them a thanksgiving and prayer, and commends them for their faith in Christ Jesus. He then prays for them by saying, for this reason, since the day we heard about you, we have not stopped praying for you. We continually ask God to fill you with the knowledge of His will through all the wisdom and understanding that the Spirit gives, so that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and please Him in every good way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God. Later in chapter 1, he tells them the importance of Christ as head of the church, and that Jesus should be first and foremost in everything. He wants to make sure that they truly understand what God did for them by allowing His Son, Christ Jesus, to shed His blood on the cross for their sins. So in verse 21, Paul writes, once you were alienated from God and were enemies in your minds because of your evil behavior, but now He has reconciled you by Christ's physical body through death to present you holy in His sight, without blemish and free from accusation. So in chapter 2, he's trying to convince them that they should live their lives in Christ and Christ only. The people at Colossae were being kind of brainwashed. You see, you could say that they were just kind of being told, worship this or worship that, or, you know, make sure you do this kind of ritual and that kind of ritual, and you know, just very earthly false teachings like that by false teachers. they were being told to worship angels and to observe certain festivals. They were being told to place more importance on these pagan things than to focus on Christ in their worship and in their everyday lives. And in chapter 2, I'm going to start with verse 8, but I'm just going to kind of jump around a little bit to see, tell you kind of what some of these people were up against. Paul says, "See to it that no one takes you captive through hollow and deceptive philosophy, which depends on human tradition and the elemental spiritual forces of this world rather than on Christ. Therefore, do not let anyone judge you by what you eat or drink, or with regard to a religious festival, a new moon celebration, or a Sabbath day. These are a shadow of the things that were to come. The reality, however, is found in Christ. Do not let anyone who delights in false humility and the worship of angels disqualify you. Such a person also goes into great detail about what they have seen. They are puffed up with idle notions by their unspiritual mind. They have lost connection with the head, from whom the whole body, supported and held together by its ligaments and sinews, grows as God causes it to grow." The centrality of Christ is what Paul is saying is truly important. And now in chapter 3, which Colleen read for you, this is where we get into a beautiful part of the letter, which has real practical application, not only for the Colossian people in 60 AD, but for us in the 21st century. Some Bibles have, as the heading for these first 17 verses of chapter 3, rules for holy living. Paul says to set our hearts on things above, not on the earthly things. Now get ready. This is where Paul tells them and us to put off our old clothes, things like sexual immorality, lust, impurity, evil desires, and greed, and to rid ourselves of things like anger and rage and malice, slander and filthy language. That's a lot of old clothing to get rid of, isn't it? Sometimes it's hard to get rid of these things. For instance, you're driving on the freeway, minding your own business, trying to do the speed limit so that you don't end up with a $150 traffic ticket, and somebody flies by you, and they not only fly by you, but then they're probably doing 80 and a 65, and then they cut right in front of you. And then they slow way down so that they can turn at the next road. That gets our blood boiling a little bit, doesn't it? Or when someone who you thought was a close friend either betrays you or somehow hurts you unnecessarily. And, you know, the past 14 months or so have definitely given us all a challenge in keeping our faith strong and our attitudes positive. This pandemic has played on so many people's mental, psychological, and even spiritual health. Thankfully, the current signs are pointing in a good direction. And I know that the first time I was able to walk in a grocery store without having to wear a mask, that just felt liberating. Verse 12 and following of chapter 3 is one of my favorite passages of Scripture. It was good advice for the Colossian people, and it's great advice for us today. Paul says, "Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive one another. If any of you has a grievance against someone, forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body you were called to peace. And be thankful. Let the message of Christ dwell among you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing to God with with gratitude in your hearts. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Put on compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, patience, forgiveness. Well, the new clothes already make us feel better, don't they? Keep Christ as the center of your life and encourage each other in our faith journey. In chapter 4, the final chapter of the letter, Paul gives the church at Colossae some further instructions to devote themselves to prayer and to be wise in the ways they act toward others. Just like them, we never know when God will present an opportunity for us to minister to someone else. He says to make the most of every one of those opportunities. And in his final greetings and words of advice to the church at Colossae, he asked the people to tell Archippus, who was likely one of the leaders in that church, but could certainly be a sound advice for all of us, see to it that you complete the ministry you have received in the Lord. Each of us has some kind of special work God has called us to do. Each of us has a unique purpose. Whatever that is for each of us, let's have our focus be not on the earthly things, but on Jesus. God, our Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for giving us a beautiful morning to have this service in our courtyard, listening to the sounds of nature. We just thank you for being part of our lives and making your presence known to us. Help us to rise above the fray and shine to show the way with new clothing, clothing that you give us, that you have made, and that you want us to wear. In your Son, Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thanks so much, Mike. I want to lift up again how we've got a really great team of folks that love to share their various gifts, to live out their faith and worship with us as well. And so we've had a lot of great sermons over the last little bit from people in the congregation who are sharing that. And we'll actually have another one next week with Jeannie, will be preaching for us. If you missed out on maybe seeing that she was going to preach on Memorial Day and then she got sick, we're so glad that she's able to jump in again next week after that. And I'll mention, too, that I really love having a preaching team, that we get to see the full range of gifts in our congregation, that I get to know that I'm learning and that we're sharing in our growth of faith as much together as hopefully sometimes you do a little bit with me, too. I'm trying to hear from God as well. And we're going to have a series this coming summer. The preaching team has been invited about that, and I know that Mike is going to have another great thing to share. Krista said that she'll be sharing with us, too. I'm excited about that. But we're going to do Finding Faith Off the Beaten Path. So the idea of, you know, during the summer we think about taking trips, having new experiences, getting to see people that we don't get to see as often, and how those different experiences can so enrich our lives. And that can be true of our faith, too, that sometimes we can sort of get used to saying, well, you know, I get growth in faith from these traditional spiritual books or from a Bible study or from worship services, which are all great, and we do grow in our connection with God there, but that it's good to be reminded of all the different parts of our lives that can have that same inspiration and connection with God, even if it's not always in the most expected place. And so I think that's also a series that would be a wonderful chance, even if you haven't thought, well, I wouldn't regularly be part of a preaching team, but maybe you do think, you know, I've had some really interesting experiences with God this year or some part of my life that's a little bit different. I wasn't sure if I would be able to share that in church or not. This type of series is the perfect time to do that. So if you're interested in sharing that as part of what we do this summer, please talk to me. I'd love to give you a chance. If you're not sure how comfortable you feel preaching by yourself, I know you've seen maybe we've done team sermons together before too, and it can be a little bit more conversational. We want to give that chance for everybody's gifts, everybody's experiences to be shared with all of our community. And so I hope you'll think about that if you know it's coming up. We'll move into our time of communion now. And so if you've got your little, you know, one-piece set, we won't be doing these forever, but they're still useful right now, I know, especially for being outside. So towards the end of the liturgy, I'll make sure to call out, but I know sometimes it takes a little bit of finagling with the film and the foil and whatever else. So I don't feel bad if I hear crinkling the whole time while we're going. It's completely fine. But let's be in God's presence together as we ready to celebrate God's presence broken and spilled out for us. Gracious God, we come to your table this morning thankful to be called your beloved children, to be invited and included in the loving, transformational life of salvation that you give. Yet, Lord, we confess that as your children, we can mistake straying and seeking our own preferences for maturity and coming into ourselves. We can be prone to preferring what we are most familiar or comfortable with to living true wholeness and justice with all your children, our spiritual siblings. This morning, may your grace help us find our best belonging in you. May your love inspire our best expressions of who you have made us to be. And may your peace connect us together in meaningful and transformational ways with your family and your spirit. And so we offer ourselves to you, God, who created and gifted all that we need and continues to give us the values and empowerment to live well with all that you have made. We offer ourselves to you, Son, who in love fully shared the experience of our lives, whose ministry gives us the example of shared life we aspire to, and whose death and resurrection have ushered in the transformational life of salvation that we desire most to participate in. And we offer ourselves to you, Spirit, who knows all we are and all we have done, who groans with us and supports us for those things that we need to be freed from, and who encourages us, empowers us, and connects us with others to partner in those wonderful things that are beyond our expectations, but that you make us capable of doing. And so
on the night that Jesus would be betrayed and arrested, he gathered his followers to him, whose weaknesses and struggles he knew, but whose potential for carrying on his ministry he also had confidence in.
They shared the Passover meal together, remembering how God had made a people that could bless the world out of their similarly imperfect forebears. And so taking the bread, he gave thanks to God and broke it. He passed it amongst those who love so dearly. And he said, "Take and eat. This is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And then after the meal, likewise, he took the cup and he gave thanks.
And he passed it amongst those who would soon go out and share this transformational life
in love with others. He said, "Drink from this.
My blood, the new covenant, poured out for you and for me.
For the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." So God, pour out your sustaining and emboldening spirit on these elements so that that which is broken and poured out might help us become people of wholeness, of hope, and of peace, persevering wherever you may call us and whatever you may ask us to do. This time, I encourage you to take the wafer. It's the body of Christ broken for you. And in the same way, you can take the cup, blood of the new covenant poured out for you. Thank you, Lord, for these gifts of bread and juice. Thank you for the life of inspiration, love, and sacrifice that they represent. Thank you for the promise of your Spirit that empowers us and binds us together that they enable. Help us as we go out from this place to be people whose values and actions are rooted in you and who can be similarly given and poured out for transformation of ourselves and the world. Amen.